Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Advise Show Radio, the station that brings you intense discussions about the hottest topics. Make sure you join us by calling in at 347-996-3350. Now, here are your hosts, Gabriella and The Advise Show.
What's going on, everyone? Thank you for joining the show. And tonight's topic is selective outrage in Black America. Now, I put up a post about this. A few of y'all got kind of bothered by that, and obviously you didn't get where I was fully coming from. And that's why I can definitely explain that in the show. So on the line, as always, you got Ms. Gabriella. How you doing, Ms. Gabriella?
I'm good. I'm ready to get started on the show.
All right, and before we do that, we're going to kind of switch some things up a little bit. We're going to get some announcements done, and then we can get into the show. So, Ms. Gabriella, is there any announcements that you want to do before we get started?
I have a few things. I'm going to leave the information where you can actually look at these pages that I'm talking about in the chat box, so you can click on it yourself. But I have two pages that I actually want to give shout out to. One is Gal VIP Magazine. It's a magazine that's inspired by Japanese fashion, but it has women and men from all over the world. We have Europeans, we have, you know, Caucasians, we have Blacks, we have Latinas, Latinos, whatever. And it's just a magazine that promotes self-expression and individuality. And I also wanted to shout out Addiction Clothing Line, and the website is addictionco.bigcartel.com. And if you use the coupon code GALVIP13, you can get 15% off your entire order. And the way you spell it is GALVIP13, so just in case you didn't know. And that was pretty much the announcements that I wanted to give.
Now, Ms. Gabriella, I don't see you in the chat room there at all. I mean, are you signed in to the chat room?
1 second.
Oh, okay. And
yes, I can't talk at the same time.
Oh, I'm sorry. You need to get a little bit more experience, Ms. Gabriella. Anyway, so before I get started with the show, I also want to, you know, do something. I'm going to explain this in a video as well. In the Black community, all this stuff that we're talking about with the case, and with a lot of problems that we have in the community, a lot of things that we want to do are things that we need to focus on. Let's be real. It's going to take some capital to get this stuff done. It's one thing to talk about stuff, but it's time to say, okay, we need to put our, you know, feet on the ground and do some stuff to help people out in our community to change the game. And the only way you can do that is, you know, using finances. So, you know, which I'll explain this in the video a little better, kind of what I want to do to actually get out there and help, you know, try to change some things within the community or just help people in general. You know, we're going to definitely need your help to do that. We're going to put a link in the description box actually right now. And if anybody, you know, no matter how many people listening or whatever, if you would like to help with that cause, even if it's just 100 people want to help with that cause, if you donate $1 to help out, that would even help us to do some more things, because there's a lot of kids out here that need school clothes. It's coming up for school. There's a lot of them need school supplies. Some people can't pay their light bill. I mean, there's a lot of things that we need to do. Also, we need to teach these, you know, brothers how to even fill out proper applications, resumes. You know, it's a lot of things that we need to do to help out the Black community. And, you know, I'm willing to do it. Ms. Gabriella is willing to do it. I have other people that's willing to help me to do this. But it's going to take not only just me, because I'm one guy. It's going to take a collective effort, just like it took a collective effort to get George Zimmerman off. And I explained that, you know, definitely in full on the video. Everything is about economics to do something. That's why the other side understands money equals power. So I'm going to put the PayPal information, if you would like to help, and the email address where you can send that to. And we want to definitely start helping the other people and get out here what we need to do to help in the community. Now, on to the show. So, Ms. Gabriella, Selective Outrage of Black America. Why we have this particular selective outrage?
When I think about selective outrage, I think about how there's so much energy put into just fighting about, debating back and forth, talking about we're going to have race wars, we're going to have riots in the streets, and all these things about Trayvon Martin. But then nobody wants to address a lot of the violence that's happening elsewhere in the Black community. I'm not saying anything. I mean, I feel bad about the verdict about Trayvon Martin because he was a kid that really didn't deserve to be killed. But I wish that there was the same amount of fire and energy put into all this violence that's happening. I mean, even in neighborhoods close to mine.
Mm-hmm.
There's Black kids getting killed every day. There's innocent bystanders being killed every day. But I don't see the same, like, I don't see people on Twitter and Facebook every single day talking about things like this.
Exactly. Like,
everybody, and then I posted on Facebook how I felt that within 2 weeks, people are going to forget all about Trayvon Martin and move on to the next news story.
Yeah.
And that's something that really bothers me about Americans in general, that we have, like, the attention span of a grasshopper. As soon as something new comes on, nobody even wants to be bothered with the old story. And I know I'm going to be upset because I know, like, in 2 weeks, there's not going to be anybody on Twitter talking about Pound, no justice for Trayvon, and Pound's worst Zimmerman, all that. I mean, people are going to start talking about Miley Cyrus and Amanda Bynes and whatever else they want to talk about.
Yeah, exactly. Now, let me see, we got about four people sitting on the line, so let me go ahead and start letting calls in, the one who's been sitting there the longest, at least. Area code 607, you on the show.
Hey.
What's going on?
All right, I'm good. I just wanted to actually say that we as Black males is really targeted, okay? We're not, you know what I mean, even as Black people as a whole, but I'll say this, you know, Black people, Black men is really targeted because of not just what happened as far as the Trayvon Martin case. It's just like we're targeted within each other as well. You know what I'm mm-hmm. saying? So it really, that's why I don't really, I mean, I'm not saying I don't feel sorry for the family. You know, rest in peace, Trayvon Martin and people, you know, I really, you know, it's just, there's a lot of young youths out there that is, you know, that's dying to the same cause, but in a different wave of our own people, you know?
Exactly.
We killing each other off, you know what I'm saying? And we're not even actually outraged with that, but we so outraged with somebody else come out of the, you know, out of the different race to kill us, you know what I'm saying? So that's why I'm kind of upset about that, you know? Because, you know, our own people don't want to, you know, clean up the backyard, back and front yards, but we want to get mad if somebody else come in and just, you know, exterminate. You know what I'm saying? So, I don't know.
And if that person is white, that's when we want to get outraged. And I had somebody on Facebook today when I was talking about that and say, oh, well, you know, because I was saying also, you know, this hip-hop culture and the thing that has come with it, it's been very negative and just disparaging for us as Black men, period. And, you know, the sagging of the pants and, you know, all the, you know, the thing that come along with that, you know, the way they, it's not the hoodies themselves, it's the way they wear it a lot of times, too. It's a total difference than just wearing it regular and wearing it the way they choose to wear it when they sag their pants. It's usually too big for them. You know, they just wear the uniform of a thug a lot of times, and that already throws shade at us as Black men automatically. Now, I had a person tell me, well, you know, they was hanging Black men when Black men used to wear suits. Yeah, but Black men wasn't hanging Black men when they was hanging us either. So if you want to go with that argument, you see a bunch of Black men stringing up Black men on the trees, but they want to use that argument because they want to defend this degenerate culture that's tearing us apart as Black men. And nobody wants to address
that. I totally agree with that.
You know, but they want to get mad and say, you know, oh, you don't talk about Trayvon and you sad with masters. I ain't sad with nobody. I'm thinking logical now. I say it's time to think logical. It's time to say, okay, this is what we need to do to fix it. You know, you sitting up there protesting and shouting and all this stuff not going to change nothing. That's the thing.
Exactly.
If it would change it, I'd be the first one out there with you. But I know you got to change the system and the mindset in order for things to happen.
That's what we really get in me. It's like everybody want to go and protest and talk about, oh, we shall overcome, kumbaya, bullshit. Oh, I mean, sorry.
No, that's okay. You can say whatever you want on here.
I'm not trying to curse, brother, but, you know, the bull have to stop. You know what I'm saying? So,
yeah.
It's just crazy. You know what I'm saying? And I don't be understanding why they, you know, feel like this rallying and I mean, that's good that they're trying. You know, it's really good that they're trying, but, you know, the justice system is not for us, and it's right there stating in front of us, right there. It's not for us. You know, it's going to be kind of hard to build our own community because of the revenue issues. Not even.
I'm sorry,
revenue.
Brother. I'm sorry, brother. I can't agree with that. We do not have a revenue issue. Black people have a $1 trillion buying power, but the problem is black folks can't keep the money in their hands only 6 hours before they turn it up to another community. I would refuse to believe that lie about our community. We have a lot of money, and I talked about that in the video I'm going to post here later, talking about just a random number on how many brothers go buy shoes on Jordan Day, and to show how much Nike get out of black people that day, and that was a small conservative number I used in my video I'm going to put later, and not even talking about the sisters buying the weave and how much money they spend doing that. So, and that's in the billions. So don't even say, you know, don't believe the hype that we don't have money. Yes, we do. Desegregation, my brother, was not about equality. It was about economics. But let me go to the next caller. Erico 229, what's going on, bro?
What's up, man? How you doing?
I'm all right, man. What's
on
your mind?
I appreciate you having me on, man.
Yeah, what's on your mind?
I just want to weigh in real quick on this George Zimmerman situation and kind of hit on a few other things real quick. First of all, I called and I think it was last week, I believe, or the week before, and I kind of foresaw this whole thing ending the way that it did. I hate that it ended this way, but from the start, I kind of figured that, you know, it was. But you know, one thing I want to kind of, you know, touch on too is that, you know, after you know, everything was, the verdict was in and everything, you know, I'm turning to these news stations and, you know, these court stations, and I'm listening to, you know, a lot of our black, you know, panels or whatever, you know, and they're talking about, you know, yeah, the justice system is, you know, it worked itself out, and, you know, we have the best justice system in the world, the best judicial system in the world. And, you know, I don't even call it the justice system. I call it the injustice system, honestly. But, you know, I just think that was a bunch of crap. I don't even think it's – I don't have any more faith in the justice system. And
I never had faith in it from the
start. Yeah, exactly. And that's one of the things I want to get out there. But two, I will say this, and this kind of to your point that you was making.
Uh-huh.
You know, when we go out as black men, and we, you know, go out here and we kill each other and we do all this you know, violence within the black community and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it just gives the other part of the population more fuel to say that this is the way that we are. So when situations like this come up, it just makes us look bad.
Exactly.
You know, because they they're looking at us like, okay, well, how can you get outraged by this when this is what y'all out there doing now? You know.
Exactly.
And
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Tom, so give me a second. Yeah, go ahead, brother. I'm gonna let my boy.
This is Chad. How you doing, the Advice Show?
Yeah, what's going on, brother? Now I know you want to tie in everything with the Zionist Jew media and everything.
No.
Not this time.
Please don't judge me on that. And
no, that's
I want to say
that. Hold on. Let me stop you. That ain't a judgment. I'm smiling when I tell you stuff like that. That's not nothing serious.
But okay. So I listened to Tanik Nasheed last night. I listened to Hella Black shows last night. I listened to the White Voice last night, who were celebrating. There's white people all over my damn Facebook celebrating this case, and I was only mad motherfreaker. So don't think that I'm like painless. But okay. So Tanik Nasheed.
Oh yeah, that was horrible, wasn't it? That was horrible, wasn't it?
No. Let me explain. The reason why there was a black person that did that was because one reason is the gun rights issue. That's why they're doing it. Another reason is they just feel like they should kill a nigger. That's what a lot of them think. And Obama has just said we need more gun rights. We need more or less tilly on guns. And That's what's going on. But Tanik Nasheed says any black person that brings up black on black crime is an Uncle Tom and cooning for white people when they bring that up. And he also said that we need to go to the UN, which is in New York, to go against genocide, because there are genocide laws. But I think we have to settle one type of genocide, didn't handle the other one, because every 28 hours a black man is killed by the police. That's fat. 323 black men are killed by police. That's fat. But I think you and I can agree that many, many more die from black on black crime. So I say we have to fix that first, and then fix the police.
Mm-hmm.
But.
And the
but is that cooning? But is that cooning or am
no,
I
No, that's
right?
not cooning. That's telling the truth. But you know how
okay.
you can fix the police problem? Black people don't want to hear what it is, but it's going to have to be more and more black men and black women become police officers. You're going to have to do it. Every time we get stopped, who face you see? A white face. You never. It's hardly rare if you get. I can't remember the last time a black police officer. Matter of fact, I never been stopped by a black police officer in my life. Now think about it. Well, how come we don't have no black
people? I had a very different experience than you with that, but that's just me.
But I'm saying, of course you got your uncle. Of course you got your painless of the world as cops. I know that. But I'm talking about your brothers and sisters who ain't on that. But you know the ones who's gonna see the injustices actually want to stop it, or they gonna think twice before they do something to a person of color, because they say, oh shoot, I got this other black person here, and I know they ain't down for this crap. They're going to have more of us in the criminal justice system, other than not being locked up. They're going to have us as lawyers. We're going to have to be judges as well. We can't just sit by
You're
and
right.
beg for the mercy of these folks. We got to get into the system and infiltrate it. But black folks don't want to do that. All you want to do is be a rapper or a ball player or be, you know, some gigolo somewhere chasing these old, you know, staying behind twerking hoes. That's all you want to do.
Yeah. I mean, even if we're not going to be in law enforcement, we could at least be more. I mean, we could have more black judges or black lawyers, or something like that. Because not everybody wants to be a police officer. I mean, I would, but at the same time, usually it's the people that are like, I really don't want to make this a racial issue, but usually the people that are sending black people to jail are not black.
Exactly.
And the people that are hired to defend the black people in court are not black.
That's right.
So if you
yeah,
were a
probably
white
made this point.
A white judge,
yeah.
how would you want to, I mean, wouldn't you, I mean, with all the negative, all the stigmas that's placed against black men in America, if you're a white lawyer, wouldn't you not want to do your best job to get him off? Just because you feel like, oh, well, you know, he might have, they're not going to put in their A game in the same way that a black lawyer would do to defend another black person.
That's half true. And the reason why I'm going to say that's half true, if you got money, You can hire any lawyer you want.
Thank you. Thank you. I was about to just say that. I was just about to say that. Yep.
That is the truth. America, like, look, I don't keep bringing up T.I. Your boy T.I., if it had been anybody else, he'd been locked up for almost the rest of his life. How many guns he had? How is it that T.I. only got 8 months? Because T.I. had money for lawyers. That's when it does. It's he who has the most money in court, I'm telling you from experience, wins.
I mean, I know that.
Yeah,
I'm
and look at the fact
that are hired by the state. That's not. I wasn't talking about people that can actually afford lawyers.
But that's the game of the court system, though. I'm telling you, that's the game.
I mean, I know that's why I quit criminal justice because I used to get criminal justice things that I found out was all unjust, so I quit. But at the same time, I'm talking about like state hired lawyers. I'm not talking about people that can actually afford to drop thousands of dollars on a case. Most of that, I mean, black people can't afford that kind of thing. Most of them.
Yes, black people can if they start wasting their money on hair weave and
thank
joy.
You. Yes, exactly. $1 trillion in spending. $1 trillion. Yes,
yes
sir.
They have that, you know. But give me a second. Eric Cole 402, you're on the show. Okay, they ain't saying that. Eric Cole 402?
Oh, sorry. I thought that I was, must have been on mute. Anyway. I was going to say I wanted to address the whole, first of all, I mean, the history of the police department was never meant to protect the poor or people of color. Anybody knows the history of the police? The police was meant to do one thing, and that was to protect the wealthy, to protect the rich class. They've always been that way. It's always set up that way. It was set up that way since its inception in the United States. So to have them to even protect the poor or the people of color – probably is never gonna, not going to happen unless we protect, unless we police our own community.
Exactly.
And,
thank you.
Once we, and I mean independently of a system that's never been designed for us in the first place. And for some of those people that may say, well, that's not possible. Yes, it is. Go talk to those white Jews up there in New York, in a certain part of New York where they police their own community. The local police department doesn't have nothing to do with it. They police their own, and they make sure they keep out who they want to keep out.
Yes, but if there was a bunch of black folks running around with guns, do you really, how long do you think they would be able to get away with that?
Well,
as long as you're not breaking the law, as long as you're not breaking a law, as long as you're doing everything by the law, they cannot mess with you. Because, yeah, I've seen that. Because
Amish
do the same thing.
Honestly, it matters.
If you have black men walking down the street with guns, do you really think that in this country?
Okay, honestly, you have a good point there, but, I mean, like other people have said, it doesn't matter that the police come. If the police try to get you, do a gunfight. Die trying. People are tired now. I was on a show, some white show, that, I mean, even though I don't really think they go through anything, that they said that this was a wake-up call to everybody that says if you try to attack a white person, you know, you're going to get gunned down, you know. If we see you, you're going to get gunned down. This is what they're saying. So black people are waking up now, I think, to this.
I don't know. I don't think we are. Because we're still doing the same old, same old. We're still following that same old script we've been following for many years. Maybe the younger generation are starting to wake up, and they may be
The younger generation,
independent.
Yeah.
It's the old older class of black folks, you know, civil rights, they're still doing the same old, same old.
And they think that everything's free, and
Because they're they're buffers for us. They're the ones that keep everything going the way it's supposed to go, so that they can continue to get what they want to get. Maybe some of them aren't, but, you know, there's a good portion of them that are. So, Look, I've been saying this for years. This is Black Man 37, for anybody who doesn't know me yet. I've been on Blog Talk for many years, and I talk to people, and I'm telling you, it's coming down to where people of color, especially those who are black, are being pushed to get our stuff together, to do our own, to build our own infrastructure. If we do not, this type of stuff is going to continue to happen over and over and over and over and over again until we get it.
Right.
We have, like the host said, we have too much money going out of our hands too quickly to other people. We need, that's got to
stop. Can I explain the point, brother?
Yes, sir.
Let me explain the point about something if I let this other caller in. about desegregation. A lot of people, you know, want to attack Dr. King about desegregation. And when he wanted desegregation, for him, it was more about education. It wasn't that so we can go live in white folks' neighborhoods and eat with them.
Exactly.
It had nothing to do with that. It was about education, right, because the education that black people was getting was subpar. And he understood in order for you to get certain jobs and to get in certain things in life, you had to get the right education so you can compete. Because without the education, that's one way they would use to keep us out. And now some people think, oh, well, you know, white people was nice to us and, you know, they did desegregation. No, they did it for economic reasons because this is what they thought. They said, wait a minute, all these Negroes with Jim Crow and everything, they actually got to keep their money in their community. Now, so when they did desegregation, guess what happened? Black folks stopped spending their money and keeping their money, and they gave the money right back to them. So desegregation was a win-win for them. It's all about money with the white man. That's all he understands. That's why when Dr. King and them did the bus boycott, that was the greatest weapon ever against the white man, because they let them black people on them buses not because they felt so bad. It's because they could not stand not getting the black dollar. And black people don't realize your weapon is not your fist, your mouth, or a gun. Your weapon is your dollar. That's the only thing the white man understands. Money equals power. And you have power, mm-hmm, but you don't use it.
Think
about
it,
black people say,
equal power.
It does.
It does, because if you're about the gay rights.
You make a good point.
The reason why gay laws are getting passed is not because Congress feels bad for the plight of the gays and they feel, you know, they're sorry that the gays can't get married. It's because the amount of money that was pushed, that was used to push their agenda, was a lot of money.
That's right. That's right. Every money, mm-hmm, money talks in the United States of America. I promise you that. Let give you an example. If black people said, you know what, let's take a certain grocery store that's everywhere, I don't know, a particular grocery store. We're not going to that grocery store until you stop profiling us every time we walk in there. And black folks all over the country said they're not going to this particular chain of grocery stores. Not only will they make national news, but the president of that company will be begging black folks and say, wait a minute, what are we doing wrong? Because, you know, we really want your business. Trust me, they'll be begging for that. That's all black folks got to do. And they'll say, shoot, man, we got to respect them black folks because they're going to hurt us in the pocketbook. That's all we got to do.
Yeah. But I was always stating that there also needs to be an independent infrastructure, because remember before desegregation, we had money in our communities. We usually had a control over how our money was going to be spent in those communities, as far as the schools, as far as the stores, as far as the, any other type of goods and services we needed. So, yeah, that's one way we could get it. However, I think the best way for us to do is to have a different and independent infrastructure, because if this whole thing was to collapse as far as the dollar, then what? Then what leverage would you have?
Well, at the end of the day, I'm going to tell you something about black folks. We are survivors. And if the dollar was to crash, and if America was to crash, we wouldn't be doing no mass suicides. We don't have the history of suicide. Tell people all the time. We survive slavery, we'll survive even America crashes. Trust me, we'll survive.
That's a big chance. And that's a big problem in the white community, it's suicide. That is a big problem. Even white people themselves say it's a big problem.
Yeah, because...
Yep. And you know why that is? It's because the reason why we won't have a problem surviving is because when we came over here, we didn't have nothing. You know?
And we was raised that way too to survive.
We weren't born with a silver spoon in our mouth. And when we came over here from slavery, we didn't have anything. So...
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we used to it.
Oh, give me a second. Area code 850, are you on the show?
Hey, what's going on? This is Martin Mark.
What's going on, man? Where's Cole?
Okay. I'm jumping in. But I like the conversation, and it ties into what I just picked a book at the public library,
mm-hmm,
called, by Dr. Carl Anderson, Powernomics.
Exactly. From Hidden Colors, too.
Plan to, you know, the Power of Black America. So I'm reading this book right now. Well, I'm just reading the introduction, but, you know, that we need to do is build our own infrastructure, you know, because he said in his, Dr. Anderson said in his videos on YouTube, he said, you know, we need to get together, unite, or we're going to perish, or we're going to become a permanent underclass. So
yeah.
We need to get our own infrastructures and everything, you know. But then also I like what Dr. Umar Johnson saying, too. He's about saying the same thing. You know, we need to get our own institutions of learning, get our own, basically our own.
And all that, and all that's, and all that's great, my brother. Everything you're saying, and black people talk a lot of good stuff, but they never tell the truth about it's going to take money to do this. Well, and
right.
This is the problem with black folks. You don't want to give up no money.
Mm-hmm.
You don't. You say,
right.
Oh, we need to do
yeah,
this.
Yeah, just a
and,
few
oh,
points.
We got scholars,
right.
We got scholars to do everything to say how great, and we need to do it. But to say, okay, let's get it done. I ain't giving nothing. But yet, but see, Wiseau
mm-hmm.
sitting at home. It's because his because the people supporting him gave him money. That's why Zimmerman had no money like that to pay for.
Yeah,
all
yeah. Zimmerman was getting $30,000 a month.
Yes,
$30,000
exactly.
a month. Yeah.
Yes, he was, and it's not illegal. But if a brother or sister say, okay, I want to do this, I want to do that, let's donate. Let's. She's like, I don't know about that. Oh,
yeah.
What you gonna do with the money? And all the white folks didn't ask Zimmerman what he was gonna do with the money. But yet, he,
exactly.
See, at black folks. We don't want to do that, and that's been our downfall right there. We'll spend it,
yep.
but we don't want to
yep.
apply it to brothers and sisters that's trying to actually. If you don't want to do the work, at least support the brothers and sisters that's trying or who want to do it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but another thing. Yeah, has anybody seen Tommy's new video on George Zimmerman, him not being the enemy, and has anyone seen any of Tommy's new videos on that?
I haven't been watching them. But
well,
can you
just
fill
it
in on?
Yeah, he makes a lot of. Exposing Black Truth loves Tommy Sotomayor, dude. He interviewed him actually last week, but basically he just said he got robbed 3 times. He said, you know, we can talk about the man who was dragged behind the truck in Texas, or talk about the 2 white boys that ran over a black man in Mississippi. We could talk about the guy who got shot in the back in Oakland. We could talk about this, but we don't talk about the black-on-black crime and all this, which is the points he was trying to make. Now, I'm kind of hesitant to when he said that most black people ain't this. That was kind of hesitant, but I just think he's frustrated. And I think a guy named Michael feels the same way. I know you heard of Michael, right, the advice show?
Oh, Michael 5723?
Yeah, I mean,
Let me make a point
okay.
about him. Okay, now, I pulled your card the other day, and I'm glad you're on there, because in order to understand your enemy, you must go and find out what he's talking about. So what I
okay.
did, I think a few days ago, I went to Stormfront myself, and I was roaming Stormfront and seeing what these racists say about us as black folks. So you got to know what they think. One thing I
exactly.
know, they obsessed with us. Number two, they love 5723 Michael because they posted his video, No Hope, No Change for the Blacks, and another video. I said, wow, look at this. They actually are posting his video. And they liked it. And they approved it.
They post my videos too, but I disagree with, but I criticize white people.
Do what?
They post my videos too, but I criticize white people.
No. I'm just saying his some of his rhetoric is just a little, you know, too much. Because I like one thing he did that was kind of foul.
No, the
thing
black
he did
community.
That was foul, man. Hold on, he was foul one time because he did a video where he was out on the street and he was like, "Look at this savage."
Yeah.
Then he walks up to a black dude, "Hey, brother, how you doing?" And this and that, brother, all the kind of brother. Then he walk away from him and say, "You see these old savages?" I'm like, "Man, I said, why you call him savage? Fake. I call him a savage."
That's a punk move. I agree.
That's
sorry,
man. That was sorry.
But
he lives in the black community.
He does live in the black community, though. Don't negate that. Tommy does not live in the black community, so that's why I'm like more skeptical.
And then Tommy, he walk around calling black women beasties and all this old.
And you know, on Stormfront,
frustrated.
No, okay. But on Stormfront, they call black women beasts and nigglets. Just like he tied on his video. I seen it on Stormfront myself. That's what racists say about black folks.
They probably get it from him.
Oh man! But like I said, you know, Chad showing me the other side, so I'm gonna have to pick their brains a little bit. So I understand. And then people are obsessed with us, man. You should see the topics they say about us. They wonder about why we speak the English the way we do. They had a long conversation about that. Why they can't be talk English like the rest of us? Why they gotta say stuff like that? They worrying about
And go to a site called Truth Militia. They say niggers this, niggers that, niggers that, niggers that. Jews this, the only thing I agree with them with, because they're against Zionism too, but I keep talking about niggers, 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 but nothing about Hispanics or Asians, just niggers, niggers, niggers.
Yeah. You know what? They actually love our dialect. They love our tradition. They love a lot of stuff about us, man. Because no, seriously, they do, because like, I was at work today, man, and I heard this white guy. This is an older white guy. He was talking about twerking. I'm like, what you know about twerking? You know what I'm saying? But he was talking about some. I think what happened was somebody. I guess maybe his daughter. Somebody told him to watch a twerk video, and he talking about. Well, he turned it on and started watching it, and you know, he didn't, you know, talking about he enjoyed it and this and that. Man,
they don't get why they obsessed with us, and what they don't realize is that you know, they say we are inferior, when really if you do the research on genetics, they're genetically inferior, not us. We're actually the strongest in genetics. And we have the DNA of the three races already within us. And what they don't realize, they came from us anyway.
That's a fact.
Yeah, but at the same time, their community is, I mean, I'm not going to say it's all the black people's fault, but at the same time, I'm not saying that I agree with other races thinking that black people are inferior, but look at the stuff that we put out about ourselves. When I was in Ghana, they were watching World Star Hip Hop videos and little Nasty Twerk videos and rap videos,
wow.
And they thought this is what America. Most of the world thinks that the stuff that they see, that the garbage that we put out is how we really are.
That's true.
So when the Asians come to our country and start their beauty supply stores and nail shops and stuff, in the back of their mind, they remember looking at the music videos, and they remember looking at the twerk videos, and they think, man, these are some of the most immoral, violent, disgusting people on this planet, right? And there's white people that have grown up their whole lives and never had a lot of contact with black people, and so the only thing that they can get information from is the internet. And
social
the
media.
And yeah, social media. That's the only where they can get information from. So I think that there's complete change in the way that we conduct ourselves. Because, we can do twerking, but that needs to stay in the strip club, not all over YouTube.
Exactly, and just one more point about the white folks. They have an actual problem in the white nationalist movement, because too many of them are interracially married or dating Asian women or black women. That's a fact. That's the biggest problem right now. Too many people are coming out of the closet about that. And I actually know one of them I know personally that's having a black girl on the side with his wife. So, you know, that's all I wanted to say.
Well, they've been doing that. Like for instance, this one brother was getting at me about when I say, you know what, we need to start focusing, you know, on like just this the black women issue and focus on everything. But he was getting at me. Well, what about that head mammy in charge that was working on Zimmerman case for free? I'm like,
well, come on,
that.
Man, don't call that sister a mammy. She's beautiful, man. She's stupid for doing it for free, but you know she's beautiful, man. She's hot.
I don't. You could be hot and still be a mammy. Most people are mad about that. I understood what she did. She was being no different than what the other side does, being an opportunist. I get it. Trust me, I get it. I understand it better than anybody. She was taking advantage of the opportunity to be seen and to get a job.
Yes.
But for me, I wouldn't have done that on a simple fact of this. I just don't want to be the black person that looks like I am selling out my people nationally. I just don't want to be that guy. For a dollar.
But she acknowledged herself as African American, though, so I, she didn't say anything to sell out to me, basically, but.
No, she didn't say anything. No, the fact of the matter is, they asked her, do you believe George Zimmerman is racist? And she said she asked his lawyer, is he racist? And he said that, well, I would work on the case if he was, but yet they just released today some correspondence from Zimmerman's old MySpace page where he even talked about Mexicans. So he talked
about
everybody.
You
half Hispanic, you idiot. So it's like he got a hard on for everybody of color. So yeah, that's the deal with Mr. Zimmerman.
man, that whole family is full of racists. I was looking at
that's that old man, that father.
Yeah, I was on this site the other day, and they had a Facebook post by Robert Zimmerman Jr., which is George Zimmerman's brother.
Yeah, his gay brother.
He had like a picture. Yeah, his brother had. He had a picture of Trayvon and what's the guy's name that shot and killed the little baby. He killed the white lady's baby. I forgot what his name is, but anyway, he had a picture of Trayvon and him side by side. He was like, I forgot what he said, but he said something really racial. I forgot exactly what it was, but it was something out of place that I didn't like.
And he's all over the place, man, on the news. He like he won't shut up.
Right.
Oh, did you hear Zimmerman got his gun back now? Did you hear about that?
Yep, heard about that today.
I heard about that.
Yeah, he said that this is what he said. He said, "Well, I'll need my gun more now than ever." The same gun he killed Trayvon with, he got it back. But he's so stupid because if somebody want to murk you, they can get you. I mean, it's you're not gonna walk. I mean, that's what he don't get. Everybody know who George Zimmerman is. It's not like he not known.
Yeah, he know now.
Yeah, he's infamous now. Give me a second. Hold on. Erico 912, you on the show?
Oh, I'm just getting there. I'm just listening. I'm going to listen for a bit before I say anything.
All right. Good deal. But George Zimmerman, man, he's something else. But like I said, he may be free, but he's not really free. If you think about it, I mean, I wouldn't want to walk around being the dude that the whole country just about hate. And everywhere I go, everybody know me, too.
And for that matter, you know, his family, they're not even safe.
Exactly.
You know? So, I mean, he's not getting no free passes.
No,
yep.
He is. He isn't at all. Now, you know, they say that you know, if the Martin family filed a wrongful death suit, they could definitely win that, the civil one. And I don't know if the Justice Department is going to file anything on him for civil rights. I heard they're investigating it. But, you know, Obama's statement was so generic, and, like, I just shook my head at Obama's statement. I said, man, come on, man.
Yeah. You know what?
That was
so
funny coming from
that.
If I had a son,
so,
it would look like Trayvon. So.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. I'm so glad you mentioned that, man, because I was just thinking about that. I just saw that message that he probably got his press secretary to write.
Yeah.
And I was like, really? Really? That's all you have to say about this? But you know what?
Yeah.
I'm not surprised because I'm going to be honest with you. Obama, he's not going to do too much. He's not going to speak out too much on this issue.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why. I don't know why.
Me either. I don't know why.
You already in. You could go ham now and you won't do it.
Yeah.
Like, you could say
you have to
understand.
But y'all have to understand, he's not going to do anything. He's not going to say, because I was reading somewhere today where they said that it would be, I forgot what word they used, but it wouldn't be appropriate for him, because I figured Obama was going to say that. I was surprised at the statement. I figured that he was going to say I figured that he was going to say that the jury has made a decision, and it was we have to respect the jury decision, because that's
man,
what I figured he was going to say.
No,
regardless
let the sister finish. Go ahead, sister.
You asked me, I feel like he could have said more, but no, given his position, I felt like he was going to, because a lot of times, you know, Obama, you know, I think he should speak out more in favor for blacks, but he don't. But given his position, I figured he was not going to say anything in lieu of that situation. But the reason I really called in, too, because I heard what you had said to earlier on your on YouTube about how we as blacks, you know, how people are doing this, and I think a lot of it's because we already don't get respected, but then when we don't respect each other, you know, no one else is going to respect us. You know, it's bad what Zimmerman did, and I do agree with you. I wouldn't want to live like that. I would rather have went head on with the prison and did my time than to live like this right here. You got to look over my head for the rest, because I'm literally had to went ahead and went to prison. He got out, and then people could have said, okay, he did his time. But that's no life to live, because he's free, but he's really not free. So
yeah.
I wouldn't want to live my life like that. But at the same time, you know, people are disrespecting us because how we treat each other, how we look at YouTube, what's going on YouTube. I mean, that's ridiculous how people, and it's embarrassing how we is going on YouTube. I mean, the men against the women against the men. It is just totally ridiculous. So, and look how we're telling each other. If we don't have respect for each other, respect has to start with them.
Right.
Are not respecting each other. We're killing each other. Even though what Zimmerman did, we're still more likely to get killed by another black than any of the Zimmermans. And so we don't address that. Now, I'm upset, too, because I feel like Zimmerman, he should have been going to jail right now. But at the same time, the same outrage that we are expressing with him, we need to do this against other blacks, because this is ridiculous what's going on.
That was the main topic of the show.
Let me tell you something. Why everybody wasn't pissed off all over the country when Janyla Watkins got killed? A little bitty baby got killed by these thugs. Why aren't you? That should have outraged the country. That's a baby. I guarantee you, if there was a white baby that got killed, it would have been a national tragedy and outrage. Because they value their life. That's why.
They value, and we don't. And then when there's another race to do it, you know, then you know, okay, we ready to get all upset, but we don't understand the reason they don't feel like they can, because we don't have no. Did y'all see the interview? Okay, a perfect example. Did y'all see after they? I don't know if anyone saw the interview with Zimmerman's brother, which kind of pissed me off. But he was telling the truth, but he was still pissed me off. He was talking about. Brought up in an interview that they had did with his brother after the verdict, he was saying, well, you know, he even brought up about how blacks were killed. He said, what are they going to do about blacks killing each other in Chicago? He brought up all that stuff about, I think he was interviewing with this guy.
But I got a theory about that Chicago.
That's why I brought up the point when I first called in. That's why I brought up the point about, you know, as long as we keep doing this stuff, it's a bad reflection on us, because when something like this does go down, they have that to reference to, like, okay, now what you going to say about that?
He referenced it. Then he went back. He said, my brother, this is what he said. He said, a lot of blacks are out here mad at my brother. But he said, this is what he said. He said, my brother was out here. He was a counselor or something for African Americans, and he said he had volunteered. He said, how many African Americans can say that they volunteered to help other African American youth out here? He said, what have they done about the killing in Chicago? He brought that up that night, and here it was after the verdict, and I'm steaming because, you know, I just heard on fire.
But then
I heard him. He gets on. And I'm thinking to myself, well, you need to talk. You need to think about your standard while you're all up in my business. But you still, I'm still, you know, thinking this. But I'm saying he was using that against us. And so that's what's going on. They're taking what we're doing and using it against. And even on your, even just today, perfect example. After you had did this video, some idiotic black guy, Mr. Boston, whatever, we're talking about the Trayvon case. He's going back, start referencing something about black women. See, this is the kind of stuff. This is what I'm talking about.
That's what I was saying. I'm like, oh, God, here we go again, black women. Because he's like, yeah, how you gonna let the black woman slide and see, you know, that's why Tommy's better than you. And like, well, go listen to him then, because the world don't revolve around black females. That topic's old already.
Exactly. And you know one thing, too, that really got under my skin, like, you know, and I'm just going to go ahead and call Tommy out on this. I mean, when the whole trial was going on a couple weeks ago, instead of talking about the facts of the case, this guy went in, he made a whole video, I think, talking about Rachel Gentile and how black she is and how uneducated she is and how unintelligent she is. And I'm like, really? I mean, see, just like you said, that's when we have so much division amongst our own race, how can we even begin to address the other race?
And that's what other people do. They listen at that stuff, and they look at that stuff, and they know how to use the SIE case in point that Zimmerman brother did. He was trying to get deflected off of what his brother had done, and so what he started doing was sort of throwing up the stuff that we were doing. He sat right there in the interview and did it.
As mad as I was listening to his brother, I was mad, but then I was thinking about it, and I was like, damn, he right.
I was, but that proved my point, what I'm trying to say. I was mad, but then I could think about it after he got finished with it. I said, but he's telling the truth. But then I got to think about that, and I told my husband, I said, now you see how they take what we do and use it again. See, what it was, the purpose was, he knew that people was going to be mad at his brother. He knew that. It's almost like he was trying to get other people to be against black Americans, too, because it was just like, okay, see what they're doing. My brother was out here volunteering and out here being a counselor for the youth. What are the other blacks out here doing? Well, and he came up several times about Chicago. He brought that up. If you go back, I can't remember. He was doing some interview with this. I can't remember the guy's name. But he brought up several times about the shooting in Chicago. He brought that up about black-on-black crime. Now, see, that was to get people mind focused away from what his brother was doing to what the problem we have. And see, but we don't see that because it just, you know, we're so divided to the point. How many other races do you think that somebody would have, they would have been shot down in the street like a slaughtered dog and nothing would have been done about it? And that's what's going on. It's just like, it's just no respect for the black race because of how we treat each other. We just so focused on fighting each other. So there's no respect. So people feel like they, and we don't respect each other. How can you expect somebody else to respect us?
Yeah, then you got people like Painless that gets on there and do everything but threw out his pom-poms and dress celebrating Zimmerman. That's what make it bad. He ain't the only one. He's just one of many. I mean, that guy was so happy Zimmerman got off. Oh, he was happy.
I just got a comment. I mean, I don't like name-calling, but no, don't celebrate that. If you celebrate the fact Okay, he should have celebrated that because a young man is dead. Okay, that's no. He should have got manslaughter. He should have got manslaughter.
Yeah,
I mean,
I agree.
Yeah. So,
yeah,
the way he acted was just insensitive, and he's being an a-hole. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
And then check this out. Even one of the jurors, I was reading an article about one of the jurors, I think juror B37, they asked her, did they know who Trayvon was? And the only thing she said was, I just know he's a boy of color. And I said, oh, God, that's why Zimmerman got off. When you hear a white woman say boy of color. that's why he got off. And see, when Quanell X has said, I'm worried about them having six Paula Deans on the stand, that's exactly what happened. Six Paula Deans.
Yep.
Quanell X was right about that. And a matter of fact, when Quanell X put a post on his Facebook fan page talking about the case, I'm going to say, well, you know, brother Quanell, you were right. They had six Paula Deans.
Yeah.
I mean, that, I figured that's what was the downfall anyway. I mean, that was one of the dead giveaways that he was going to get off
yep,
when they said they got those five women. When they said five women and they were white, I said, oh, this is over.
Yeah.
He's going to walk.
Exactly. It was a wrap. So,
it was
a wrap, man.
Yeah.
And one of the women,
well, you might well say they had six white women because the other one was like Zimmerman.
Hispanic Latino, yeah.
Yeah, no, not Hispanic Latino, no. It was like Zimmerman mixed, and he maybe she was more on the white side. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, well,
I
get what you're saying.
They say she was half. They say she was half white, half Hispanic like Zimmerman, and then you had white women as well, of the five white women. And it was not a jury of their peers because you didn't have. You mean to tell me you could not put no blacks on that jury? That's not a jury of your peers. No Asians. You couldn't put none of them.
There was not even. There weren't even any men on there. Like that's.
Yeah. Hi, yeah. We don't live in a.
What kind of society. Jury is that?
And how
yeah,
they were cool
at least. I don't know what they were doing with that.
And I kind of fault the prosecution a little bit for that too because. They had a say so in picking that jury too. They should have spoke out against that too and been like, look, we gotta have at least one black person. I mean, come on now.
They couldn't even get one black prosecutor.
No, they couldn't get a black prosecutor. I mean, come on. I mean, somebody said something like, I think this was said on Democracy Now! Today, is that when you or maybe it was on a local radio station here in Houston. Somebody was saying that, you know, you should have known when that prosecutor got involved with it in the beginning, talking about, what was her name?
And Angela
when she
Corey.
Prosecuted that sister. Yeah, when she prosecuted that sister and put that sister away for 25 to 20-something years.
Yeah.
For shooting that warning shot.
Yeah.
That right there, this one brother said, it was on Democracy Now! Today. If you ever watched, this brother was talking about that. He said, you should have known that this was going to go down the wrong way because that woman has had a history of prosecuting black people and putting them in prison for life.
Did you see after the verdict came back, she gets on TV smiling and like they won or something. I'm sorry, I don't really advocate hitting women, but that's one of the times that I want to slap one. Because, man, how dare you smile?
All of them were smiling. They just had this smirk about them. Oh, my God. I had to turn the TV off because my blood pressure was just going sky high. I mean, all of them had this smirk about them. I mean, they were just happy. I mean.
No. You're wrong about that. What's his name? He didn't. What's his name?
No, that was her. It wasn't the other two dudes. It wasn't other, no, I saw it. It was her. She was smiling like
the ball,
they won.
The ball guy, he was upset because he was worried about his record. he said he only lost two cases, and that was his second one. He was upset.
Because my husband was saying he was listening to something today, and he was saying that this black guy, I forgot what he said his name was saying that the team, Trayvon team, that he watched it from the beginning to the end, and there was he thought that they could have presented their presented the case stronger too. You know,
they could have.
Go ahead.
And so I didn't know because he said, for example, he said when they asked the father, was that Trayvon voice that they heard screaming, and they were saying that he had. He couldn't identify his own son's voice. So I don't know about that, you know. So I don't know. He said they were saying that this black guy, he said he was listening to it, the whole case. And he said he was kind of upset with his team, too, because he felt like they should have came at it stronger than what they came, than what they presented it.
And I thought Sabrina Bryant was going to, do that. Do like they do at church, falling out, crying, got to carry out of that type of stuff on the stand. I was expecting that because, this
for
is the
mother?
Time to do it.
For his mother?
Yeah, his mother. I was expecting her just to really just be over-emotional, and she was like a soldier. And I'm like,
she has to be professional, though.
No, but see, it's not. It's all about game. It's all about pulling on heartstrings. I mean, you have to play the game sometimes. And if she would have thought about everything by her son, in my opinion, okay, and just let it out on the stand, crying and everything. Because sometimes, you know, sometimes sisters are so strong. Do what?
Yeah, I agree with you on that because, see, that's, I agree with that because they were saying she was, you know, she was too, because I'm going to tell you something. If that had been a white woman, she would have faked, even if she, I ain't going to say fake it, but she would have cried. That I, sometimes I'm just like, well, I agree with him on that. Sometimes you got to play the game because if she had got up there and just really played that game, got all of my, then she would have won the sympathy of fury. You see what I'm saying? She could have won the, you know, she would have probably leaned more toward, especially with that being a woman, an almost majority of women juror that has kids themselves, then she could have played on their sympathy.
And they would have went, and there was some national media attention. So they would have had her all over the world crying about her son like that, and it would have pulled on the heartstrings of everybody. It would have made it go a whole lot different if she would have done that.
But my thing is, I don't think that Trayvon can't prepare the people that they decided to put on the stand properly.
Oh, we obviously saw that with Rachel Gentile, obviously.
I mean, well, Rachel Gentile was not prepared. The mother wasn't really prepared. Nobody was really prepared. The Asian gentleman that did the autopsy, he didn't know that he wasn't supposed to refer to his notes because they were taken away from him. And there was so much that was wrong with this case.
But you know what else I think really hurt the prosecution? As much as, you know, the defense tried to demonize Trayvon, I felt like they should have had more people on the witness stand for the prosecution uplifting Trayvon and talking about his character.
Yeah, being character witness.
You know. Yeah, exactly. That's what hurt them, because you got the jury full of white women, and they already looking at him like, okay, maybe he is this thug that everybody's talking about. They don't know. So
yeah, but
I think they should have more character witnesses on stand.
You know, every time that we have, you know, black men, you know, and black women, you know, we sometimes, like I said, we come across, you know, in our stereotypes so strong, and that's what Sabrina, she came across too strong and don't know when to let that go and let that woman come out. I'm pretty sure she had her most of the time, but she was just too strong. You know, I expect his father to be that way, but not her. And then you said about them having character witnesses, like, that should have been stopped a long time ago about them demonizing that boy in the media. The prosecution should have got gag orders put on that case immediately. The first time they saw that happen, they could have filed a gag order, but they couldn't say a word in the media about anything, and they did not do that because they tainted any potential jury because, you know, everybody watched TV.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's sad. But that's the same state that let Casey Anthony go to.
Mm-hmm.
So I would say they got an incompetence in Florida. And,
yeah,
I mean, white people was hot when they let her go. Ooh, they was hot.
But now there are some white people now that are mad about this Trayvon case too. Now,
they were. You know, they have Hispanics. I had a Hispanic guy, write me a long email about Trayvon. You know what I'm saying? And he was saying that they get profiled too, and the cops mess with them, and white folks mess with them too. And I'm like, yeah, I know they do. I know they do because they all. I told him in a message, they always calling y'all illegal. Every time they look up, they calling y'all illegal and say y'all taking their jobs. They just hate us. They say, we on welfare, and y'all taking their job. So I said, they don't like y'all either. That's why I don't like to see some of them being that Uncle Tom stuff either, because they don't like them either.
Well, yeah, that's true. It was sad for this to have happened. You know, it was really sad.
But now is what are we going to do? Are we going to be on the level of outrage and go ahead on and start having all this outrage in Chicago and L.A. and anything that happened here in Houston and all? Let's carry that over. Let's make something positive out of this. That's not to say, okay, Trayvon, because nobody's talking about Jordan Davis. Well, you know, Jordan Davis was killed too, so, but that's actually worse than Trayvon, because Jordan Davis, you can't smear his image because he was a straight-A student, never got in trouble. And he was sitting in his car.
What I think is going to have to happen is the blacks that is just
I'm sorry to say this, but that wants to do better, and obviously, you know, we do, and we're sick of being, we're sick of these blacks that just don't. It's sad to say, but you're just gonna have to separate yourself from them, because a lot of times some of them just don't want to do better, and just like, you know, the guy, going back to the guy today, we're talking about one thing, and he's coming back. You have some of these guys out here, just like some of these women, they are just so bitter, and it's nothing.
Oh, yeah, they're bitter. I'm so sick and tired of it. I'm like, dude, like, okay, if you don't like black women, fine. Don't be with them. Go whatever you're going to do and leave it alone.
And like when you made the video of like the black woman that had done a video about, you know, uplifting the black fathers, you know, if they don't want to see those videos, if they don't like, go, just go. But why do you wait?
Yeah,
your
because
time?
I was kind of taken aback by that, because it's like, okay, if black women are so evil, and you got a black woman that's actually trying to do good and trying to uplift black fathers who don't ever get uplifted at all, you're gonna make something out of that? I'm like, come on.
Because you have the men, some of the men and some of the women, they're just alike. Both of them it's just like misery loves company. So I just really think that the blacks, that really, it's sad to say, but what can you do other than separate yourself from them, because, and don't accept that. I mean, because there's nothing else you can do. They don't want to do any better. And then they are the ones killing us. I mean, literally, they're destroying the mindset of the people who, even some of the children that just out here doing good and stuff like that, making straight A's, you know, they're not even being recognized. Because this,
no, they're not.
This hood rat, and this I cannot stand that kind of stuff. And that's what's being glorified in our community. And so,
and that's why we looked at, and that's why we looked at the way we looked at too. You know, they see all these images of the twerkers and the thugs and all this other stuff. And that's why I was saying we have to counterbalance that, because the thugs and the twerkers are working overtime to promote this particular image in the world.
I know, just
and
like
I said, I laugh at a twerker too. I laugh at all of them. And to me, ain't nothing wrong with twerking. That's what you want to do. My thing is, the only time I have a problem with twerking is when you got a child and you're a mother and you got children and you're supposed to carry yourself like a mother, but yet you're twerking all over the place. I'm sorry, your twerking days need to stop, especially online if you're
a
mother.
I agree. And like this one lady gonna say online, I thought I had heard it all when she said that Nicki Minaj was a new role model, was a new how she said role model. I said, oh my God. I said, and I told her, I said, I know we have lost the time that Nicki Minaj can become the new.
Yeah, I know, right?
New,
it's not even just,
you know,
Nicki Minaj. It's all the people that are, there's Miley Cyrus, there's Amanda Bynes.
Miley Cyrus and Amanda Bynes ain't nobody that the black folks look up to.
Are you, well, the girls on my Facebook, act like she's God's gift to the earth.
Oh,
they
nobody
want to
watch Miley Cyrus twerking them bones. Come on now.
I know, but I'm saying, like, the kind of women that are uplifted in a black America, most young girls, they look up to people like Amber Rose. They look up to people like Nicki Minaj. They look up to the Caramel Kittens of the world, the strippers, the porn stars, the video bookies. Those are the girls that most black girls aspire to be.
But you know,
if you think about it.
But you know what, you being a black woman, do you know what the difference between, and that's what I presented this back to this other, look at the way, and I'm not saying that foreign blacks don't have their problems and issues too, because they do, but there is a difference in some of the ways, the way they carry themselves, and that's the reason even some of them don't like us. Now I got my thing with them, but there's a difference between the way some of them.
Somebody talking in the background, whoever that is. You got talking in the background. Let's see me. I'm going to have to figure out who it is.
I don't know.
Let me see.
It's not me, though.
I figured out who it was. Go ahead, sister, real quick. Give me a second. Somebody got the computer turned up or whatever, and we're hearing a lot of feedback. Somebody turn your speakers down or something. That's what we're hearing.
Mm-hmm.
parents
were our parents. Yeah. It's the end. All right, I figured out who it was. Okay. Give me a quick second. Area code 617, you on the show.
Hi.
All right, this is Ms. Vanessa?
Yes.
See, I recognize your voice.
I have three comments. Those guys who are bitter about black women, they remind me of that song from Ski Low that I wish I was taller, but like 15 years later. And and I was just saying about you were talking about like Miley Cyrus and these white women who do ridiculous things, but the difference between them doing ridiculous things and us doing ridiculous things is that they can do that when they want attention, but they don't want to be associated with that as if that's them, that's who they are. Like Miley Cyrus, she can twerk and she can get that, oh my gosh, did you see how Miley Cyrus twerk? But when they say you make hood music, she'll tell you, no, I don't make hood music. I make twerk, but I'm not about that. When we do something outrageous, even if it was one time, that's now us. That's just what all, that's everything that we do.
You know what? You're bringing up a good point because I've seen something from Hot 97, and they were saying about the difference between white girls twerking and black girls twerking. And they were saying that when a white girl twerks, they're saying like, you know, like you said, Miley and, you know, all these other ones twerking. They say, oh, it's cute. But when a black girl do it, oh, she a slut. Mm-hmm. Same thing. And this is the thing, you know, in you know, white society, they're going to protect their woman regardless. I mean, they even married a woman after she's been ran trains on, been porn stars and everything. They still marry her. I don't never understood that. That's one thing I love about brothers. At least we know a chick like that, we ain't going to marry her. We know about it.
And also, see, I saw the prosecutor's response about the whole trial. He was just so nonchalant about it. Like, yeah, we lost, but, you know, buck up. To me, that kind of made me think on some type of conspiracy theory type of mindset. Like, maybe they purposely slacked on this case just so Zimmerman can get off. Who knows if he had a deal to make this case look like a circus show just so he can get off and just to go with the establishment. I mean, there were a lot of white folks who you would have never thought that would be racist or who would have ever thought that Zimmerman would have gotten off or was okay with it. A lot of them came out and said, yeah, I'm okay with it. I'm glad he came off. Even though they know for a fact that Zimmerman is guilty. They know for a fact that he killed a black child. But at the end of the day, they will stick with their own.
Of course they will stick with their own against our black behinds. You ain't figured that out yet? I figured out the game a long time ago. That's why some people act like they shocked and surprised. I'm not surprised. I figured out the game in the South, how it works. And see, I have studied these white folks intently because I'm an analytical person. I know how they get down. And I can even look at them and tell when they racist. They look at you like, ooh, that nigga. I mean, they give you that look.
Oh, yeah,
you know that look when they trying to call you that. You know what I'm saying? And how they come across.
To be honest, I'd rather have a racist, upfront white person tell me how he really feels than the one who sits there and lets kumbaya, I'm a liberal, I don't believe in racism, and then they hit you with something you would have never thought, like Paula Deen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, hey, Paula Deen.
Am I on here?
Yeah, you 612 area code?
Yeah, the 617,
oh, no.
Yeah, you on here, 612?
Yeah, that's me, Emmanuel. I'm just listening on the show. I assume you're talking about the Zimmerman case, right?
Okay, yeah, we're talking about that and about the
selective
outrage that we have in the black community as well. But the other brother was saying something. What you was trying to say?
I was going to really actually elaborate what she was saying. The whites in New York, too, is actually the undercover just as well. You can find that any and everywhere, you know, within any race, too. But I'm not trying to just, you know, justify anything. But I'm just saying it, and you can really tell and actually really see who is truly racist and who's not. You know what I'm saying? So I was just going to elaborate off of that. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah, bits like this is great because it reveals people's hearts and who they really are. And something else that really offends me, too. I don't know if some of y'all ever dealt with this. Have you ever, like, been around white people and a white person tell you, you know what? You're not like the rest of black people. You know, you're different. You know, and I used to think that all black people was a certain way. And you look at them like, what?
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Like,
what you thought? We all was niggas or something? And I'm, I was
but,
the
I mean, sometimes I don't blame them for thinking that because if they weren't really, if they didn't grow up around black people and they didn't have a lot of contact with them outside of maybe seeing, maybe that was the person that rang them up at the Walmart. How would they really know how black people are? Because the things that we put out about ourselves are negative most of the time.
Okay, well, Ms. Gabriella, well, if that's the case, why don't we think all of them are Klansmen that's hanging niggas every day? We don't say that when we meet them. Like, well, I didn't know you wasn't in the Klan. I thought all white people was in the Klan.
Yes, but from an early age, most black people are exposed to white people all the time. I mean, in real life, on television, the first person we see when we come out of the our mother's womb is a white person, most likely. So it's not like we don't know.
But you know, a lot of problem is with the younger, you know, like I say, the younger crowd is they aren't conscious of their history, and they aren't conscious of who some of them are. I'm not saying all of them are racist, no, but they're not conscious of their past, and they didn't ever want to hear about it. They get mad at me when I put up a video about Black Wall Street, or I talk about the Tuskegee experiment and all this other stuff I put up. You should see how they was getting mad. Oh, you know, this white person tell me, oh, I see you all on black supremacy, race baiting, and a white guilt. I'm going to unsubscribe. I'm like, okay. I didn't know you subscribed.
Yeah.
To the first.
Fine. Unsubscribe. And
I mean, it's history. It's American history. Why don't you want me to talk about it?
Because they don't want us to know our history. They want us to be shunned out, shunned away, and not really actually, you know, have a greater understanding of who we are, period.
I think they want black people to think that, oh, it's not all white people. There's just random racist acts, but it's not a continuing pattern. It's post-racial, so there's no more racism. That has died off. And a lot of people, and it seems like the older generation, the civil rights generation, loves to push off that mindset and to keep on saying it's post-racial. Racism doesn't matter. When we know for a fact racism matters, we know that it's not a coincidence that we get the worst of diseases. It's not a coincidence that our neighborhoods are poor. It's not a coincidence that we are basically the prison system. It's just not a coincidence. But they like to push off the, well, we integrated, and that doesn't happen anymore, and we just need to...
And as I stated earlier in the show, Vanessa, integration was not about equality. It was about the black dollar in economics, period. They wanted the black dollar, and they couldn't get it with desegregation.
I agree.
Well, so, I mean, psychologically speaking, I mean, if you under a system that gives you privilege, and this system's going on years after years after years after years after years after years, and you're several generations born down the line, of course you're not going to get off because you're part of a system that was actually designed for you. So on subconsciously, it doesn't look like everything's racist to you because you don't experience what the people of color experience. So that's why they run around here talking about, oh, you're race baiting. Because you ever notice how they always use different words out, they throw out here to say something to dilute the fact that it's racist when it's blatantly racist.
Yeah.
There was
words
like race baiting, race card, and all these other things.
Yeah, race card, race
baiting. You know, at the time, you know, when they used to hear, but...
Mm-hmm. That's a new cool word. I figured it out now. When they call you a thug, they call you a nigga.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, they got different words to use. That, you know what? And that's what a lot of them don't use, especially some of the youth don't get. That they use, they know the English language very well. They're very slick with words. That's why Limbaugh.
Hold on a second, brother. Hold on a second. Hey, somebody talking in the background?
Yeah, somebody has an echo or something.
Yeah,
somebody's on the phone.
Yeah, somebody on the phone. Who is that on the phone? Let's see.
I think they have the show playing in the background.
Okay, anyway, I think I figured out who it was. Like when they say, when they get on the news and they say, you know, inner city youth, they talking about folks are talking
black,
about
Hispanic.
And
what's his name? Was it Bill O'Reilly that said most crimes were committed by black people?
Yeah, yeah, and that's why I put it. Yeah, and you know them racists still didn't accept the FBI statistics I put up.
Because that's what they want to believe. They
got mad
that
at me. They're like,
worse.
No, you see, you know, you black folks commit all the crimes because proportionally speaking. I said, no. This is the FBI statistics that's done by your FBI state that you have 6.5 million arrests of white folks and only 2.6 million of black folks. And then they said that black people do all the raping and they do all the raping. They do everything
exactly.
More than black except on that chart, black folks did 100 and some odd murders more than them. But all in all, they commit all the crimes. But, like, come on, how could a people who are only, what, 38 to 40 million strong in this nation commit all the crimes when it's more of them? It's more of them, there'd be more crime. There'd be more poverty. I mean, they have more white folks on welfare and food stamps than black folks, but they put it out there that it's us. And they want to call welfare nick insurance, but yet they own it.
Exactly. And every time they have somebody who's from talking about welfare, they always, like, whenever they are making a broadcast about how they're going to cut back on welfare, who they have as a special guest appearing is the poor victim that's going to lose
black
their benefits.
Mother.
Black single mother. Usually
always
overweight,
with
a crazy disease.
Exactly. And you always know that, and we can see by this, what went on with Trayvon. It's not more black people on welfare, because I even have a friend that she was kind of, you know, she works with welfare recipients and all that. She tells me all the time that she has more white cases than she do blacks, and she said she tells me that all the time. But you when you hear in the news, it seems like it's always black. But see, the thing is about it. But what we as blacks have done is taken that same stereotype that they have used, and then we use it against each other. And we can look at the Trayvon case and say, do you honestly think that if there was that many blacks on welfare, they don't care anything about us in this country. If it was more blacks receiving welfare, do you think they'll keep giving us welfare? They wouldn't care.
No,
about
they
us.
Wouldn't give us nothing. I knew that.
They wouldn't give us nothing.
When have they created anything to benefit black folks? Think about it.
That's what I'm saying. They didn't cut it out because they haven't cut it out because it's more them that's on it. And so
right.
What we do is to justify, they keep on, well, you know, it's black people on welfare, black people on food stamps, and all that. No. It's more of them, and that's the reason they're not getting rid of it, because it's benefiting them the most. But what we do, what aggravates me about, I agree with what you said earlier, when you have been figured out. I have figured it out to the T, and I just look, what aggravates me, nothing that they do now aggravates me. Nothing that they say aggravates me. Nothing they do aggravate me. It don't aggravate me because I know their strategy. I know their game. But what aggravates the crap out of me is us. I mean, I just want to just take us and just shake the crap out of us because we can't see this. And I'm like, for real? No, why can't we see it? Why can't we get, you know, what part of this that we just cannot grasp? You know,
as I gave the example about how white folks see it, you also have to look at the other side of the spectrum. The other side of the spectrum is that we've been ingrained in the system for so many years, too. So
mm-hmm.
a lot of us believe, hold on. Right. But, she's breaking up. I'm sorry, but I didn't mean to interrupt you, but you have to understand
that's
that fine. Some of us see it. Others of us don't want to see it because we believe as long as they give us jobs, as long as they let us in their schools, as long as we get the food at the grocery stores that they build, as long as we can get all these things that somebody else can give us, I'm fine. I'm cool at getting a bachelor's degree and getting them giving me a job instead of me creating one. I'm cool with them giving me whatever I have to do, and I'm cool with snitching on our own people. I'm not talking about if you commit a crime. I'm talking about totally different. I'm cool with being a traitor of my own people and just saying anything that makes it seem like anytime we're going to make an advancement to be uplifted and independent of the system. That's what I'm talking about.
Did you hear the beginning of my show when I talked about why people do that?
No, I didn't get a chance to hear that.
Let me explain to you why people do that. You can start off, and I talked about this at the beginning of the show, in order for us to do things, it takes money. And I was explaining that the situation with Zimmerman, the reason why Zimmerman got off, yes, race is part of it and all that, but how did he have the money to get out of jail? How did he have money for the build that defense team? He wasn't a rich cat at all. He was a regular dude. He had donations, and his supporters supported him. And we talked about this. He first got $130,000 and $30,000 a month. Then when all that money got exhausted, he asked for money, and within 5 days, he got $46,000 from his supporters. And the difference between, you know, white people when they support you versus black folks support you with mouth. White folks support you with mouth and money. That's the difference. So let's talk. Bring this back to black folks. You know, there's a lot of black folks. We can be so pro-black, but a lot of times when white people start liking what we do and start supporting us, they start giving us the views. They start giving us the money. So you start seeing a black person slowly veering away from black folks because, hey, they feeding them. So that's why that happens. So as black folks, we got to start supporting each other financially as well to do different things. I mean, we got to. Because, like I said, we waste money on shoes. And as I said earlier, we waste money on weave. You can't support your brother or sister doing something. They ask you to help them out, do something like, for instance, I put up at the beginning of the program, like, you know, I talked about this in the video here shortly I'm about to post. Well, you know, this guy coming at me about what I'm doing for the black community and this and that and the third. You know, a lot of black people like to tell you that, what you doing. But the fact of the matter is, all the ideas I have, it takes money to do that. It's like, I ain't rich. You know what I'm saying? I have so many things that I want to do to help people just in general. But it's going to take some money. It's going to take some capital. Okay? So that's why I say, you mean to tell me that if a brother or sister want to do something, I'm a coalition type of brother anyway. I take other brothers and sisters to do things. I don't care. You know what I'm saying? Ms. Gabriella can even maybe vouch for me on kind of my mindset on how I do things. Right, Ms. Gabriella?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So she here to tell you. So why can't we say, okay, let's do something? You know, let's donate a dollar or something towards something. Like I said before, if you could take a couple of people, let's say like 200 people to donate a dollar, everybody got a dollar and get something done or help a brother and sister out. Or even if it's a couple of thousand people donate a dollar. What's wrong with that? It's just a dollar.
I think we are financially illiterate. We just spend money on the wrong things. We spend money for instant gratification. We got a hair done. We got our nails done. We can lease a Cadillac, and that's important to us. It, like the man was saying, he was saying that we're happy if we got a roof over our head. We're happy that we had a job. We don't care about building our own business because that takes work. I think a lot of people are passive. A lot of black people are passive. We'd rather turn the other cheek. We'd rather pray about it. We'd rather say God's going to help us, but we don't want to actually do the footwork. And I think that's what
integration
did for us.
I agree.
Other people can do it for us. We don't need to do it for ourselves. We're not allowed to go to that restaurant. Okay, instead of building a restaurant, we're just going to complain. We're going to get sprayed by holes. We're going to be beaten by police people. We're going to be eaten by dogs. It doesn't matter because at the end of the year or the end of whatever, we'll be able to go to our restaurant. We became so passive. And I think a lot of black people who hate that image of Uncle Ruckus or Uncle Remus, a lot of us are miniature versions of that. We hate seeing that image because we are that passive. We do turn the other cheek. We do love to be around white people. I mean, if a white person said to black people, donate me a dollar, donate me whatever you have, black people wouldn't mind digging in their pockets and giving their last dollar to whatever cause. But if a black
person... Yeah, you remember, says, hey, you remember that? Now I'm thinking about it. You had white people saying, oh, Coney 2012, donate money. And black people donating out the wazoo because white folks told you to. But there had been a black person saying, you know, hey, let's donate to do it. And he's serious about it. Oh, I don't know about that. You better pray about it. You know.
Yeah, and that Coney.
What you going to do with the money?
Are you going to buy a car with it?
Yeah, what you going to do with it? But you don't ask your preacher what he doing with it.
That goes to you. Right. That 2012 stuff was just to go back into Africa and recolonize Africa, just like what Obama's doing right now. He's going to all these African countries and stuff like that. It's never about the people. He's a puppet, as some of
us know.
That's
what I was saying.
He's a puppet. He's going in because America and all of her sister countries, they're decaying. They're dying.
Yeah, they're
only 6% of the world anyway, as in white people. They're only 6% of the world. The euro... It's weak. The dollar is weak. So they have to do what they always have done, see, the thing about it, they need us more than we need them. If it wasn't for the African continent and the resources, all of those countries would fold overnight. And to go off of what you were saying, Ms. Gabriella, is that correct?
Yeah.
Yeah. To go off of what you're saying, this is a country that, especially in the black community, the reason why, one of the reasons why they're bringing Mexicans over here, they're bringing them to replace us, because we're not going to go in the hot sun and be on rooftops, you know, burning up in the hot sun, going out in farms picking strawberries and oranges and stuff. We're not going to do that stuff. And in this country, they teach us to be, they teach you to go to school, get a good job, get a salary, and be comfortable. And then us as black folks, we go walk around feeling as if we're better amongst our peers. When the biggest thing, like you said, we're never taught, and that's everybody has a right.
Who either somebody just finished a 2-minute meal or they or something.
2-minute meal.
But yeah, everybody as a race, we're not taught about financial education, especially in the black community. We're not taught about financial education, which is the real education that we need for all those that went to college. You know what is
that?
I mean, what, in your classes? I mean, let's be honest here. What the fuck are we learning? Excuse my language. What are we learning? All college is to see if you can do something for a long period of time and put a nice piece of paper on your wall, once again, to bluff amongst your peers and say, hey, look what I got. And you feel as if you're
so
better. When white people are saying, look at y'all, y'all so stupid. You know, y'all working for us. You're not creating anything. You don't own the real estate. Look at every black community in the country. You go to a corner store, it's an Arab. The real estate that people are living in is owned by white people that stay out in the suburbs. Until we learn about financial education and fully grasp that, we're always going to be at the bottom.
That's right. Money, like, and beyond which, most of the hustle I've learned, I'm not going to lie, and what helped me financially and watch my money, and I have to admit this, a lot of old white men on jobs sat me down and taught me how to move money and things I did not know about, you know, how to put up stuff with, you know, your 401k a certain way, how to, you know, pay things off a certain way in a quick amount of time, how to get that mindset off of tricking and getting the mindset off of asset building. You get what I'm saying? And as black people, we taught that stuff like they taught. I mean, I had a white man tell me, like, I remember when he built it, I saw him build his house. He told me, he said, you know what? He said, this is what you do. You don't go buy no car. You go buy your house. Drive your car till the wheels fall off. Then after you get your house, then you go get the nice car, whatever nice car you want. See, now you got the house. Now you got your car. You got everything. But black folks, we don't even go buy a house. We don't buy nothing. We go buy some expensive car that depreciates
and
then we got to
trick it out.
Drive it out
exactly.
But a house, we can sell that house. We can even flip that house. We can flip it and make some money off of it, move somewhere else. Or we can pay it off and if you want to do a landlord thing, rent it out. And that way, you know, you got a house sitting up there making money, you know, while you staying somewhere else. I mean, it's all kind of stuff that we could do. My cousin, you know, and everything, her and her husband, they flip houses and they make good money doing it. Real, real good money doing it. That's why, you know, a lot of people jealous of her, but she's real smart of her money. You know what I'm saying?
I was talking to this girl and I was pulling out my phone and I still, right now I'm talking to you on an iPhone 3GS and everybody got iPhone 4 and iPhone 5. Most everybody got iPhone 5, but you know, I'm still got an iPhone 3. She said, you don't want a new phone? I said, my iPhone 3 is still working. Why don't I buy another phone? It still make my calls. I can get on the internet. I can do everything an iPhone 5 and iPhone 4 can do. So why get another phone? And mine's still working. I had this phone about for almost 2 years now. So
I don't blame you. I do not blame you. Mm-hmm.
Right. You know, when I started my business, I graduated from college in 2007. After that, you know, I went to culinary school because that's what I like to do. One day I want to own my own restaurant. And, you know, I didn't go. I could have got a job working downtown, but I didn't want to do that. So for a period of time, I had to stay with my parents again. My friends were making fun of me. Oh, you know, you graduated. You know, you're staying with your parents and stuff like that. It's just like...
Right.
You guys don't get it. you have to, wherever the wind blows, that's where you have to go. In the near future, especially for us black folks, the jobs that are going over, the America that we know, it's finished. It's not coming back. And the people that are suffering the most are whites, but they're never going to put that in the news. If we don't have...
Oh, yes, whites are suffering. I admit that.
Oh,
whites,
yeah, they're
suffering
big time.
And the reason why whites are getting so violent, because they have a history of that. That's what happened with Black Wall Street, is they saw these black people doing way better than them. They couldn't get jobs, couldn't get nothing. So white folks get violent because they're so used to having everything handed to them, they don't know how to act when they got to sit up there and eat ramen noodles for a while. They don't know how to they can't take it.
No, they don't. But, you know, my friends now, a lot of them, because you're just sitting there for quota. I don't care what piece of paper you have. They were laughing at me. You know, I was a laughing stock. But I own a PCA business. It took some time, you know, a personal care business. It took some time, but I got one client. Then I eventually got two. And, you know, I'm doing quite well. And I'm 29. And a lot of them, oh, man, I wish I would have did what you were thinking. I'm like, well, it's not too late, you know. When I was telling you, let's do stuff together as a group, as a unit, you guys didn't even want to listen. That's the biggest thing about us. We're so about being individuals instead of a unit. We're so about that. Like we all just stated, oh, I have this car, you know. So you have a car, okay. Wow, you know what's the big deal? It's all about conglomerate.
And they don't realize that car loses its value. We don't put money where it should be going. And going back to the education, I mean, I have a degree and I do value a degree, but at the same time, I think that, you know, sometimes we put so much emphasis on more on degrees than owning our own business. It's so funny because my husband, he's retired military, and so he went back to school to get he also has a degree in culinary. So the VA had sent him a letter today telling him, you know, he needed to use up the rest of his money for his education requirement. So he's doing his own business now. And so he was saying, I said, you can use the rest of the money. I said, are you going back to school? He said, for what? He said, the purpose of going to school is to make money. He said, I'm doing pretty good right now. I'm not going. He said, I don't want to go back. But he already had his associate. He got his associate. But he said, you know, he said probably later on, but that's not a top priority right now because he's trying to get the business with both of us together to another level. And so, and we are doing, you know, good with it right now. But the point is, sometimes, you know, we are so focused on, I mean, like I said, I have a degree. I have friends that have one friend work doctor's degree, but don't even have a job. And I'm like, why are
Look
you
at
working
that.
On a doctor's degree?
Exactly.
And don't even have a job. I said, no, what's going on? I said, what's going to happen? I said, you are putting yourself in a category now of being overqualified because when you go out to look for a job, and so she just getting this degree just to be able to say she got a doctor's degree. And I'm like, why? You know, I mean, I mean, there's nothing wrong with getting a degree. I see nothing wrong with that. But the purpose, once you get the bachelor's degree, I've always thought when you get to getting ready to get the master's degree, especially more than a master's, you should be in a field that you're working in, and you want to advance to the next level, and then you want to seek out that degree to help you advance. But to go out and get a
doctor, you know, a lot of problems with people in this day and time, they don't even research the field and find out what's the median income. Because they got people that are getting degrees and only making $30,000 a year. I'm like, if I'm going to get a degree, I better make 60 or more coming out the gate.
Exactly. Especially when you start talking about a doctor's degree, you should be making at least, I would think, at least six figures. And,
exactly.
You know, and like I said, it's nothing wrong. I mean, I have a degree. There's nothing wrong with that. But, I mean, you know, my thing was, and I would like to one day finish up the master's, but I would want to be able to know I'm advancing, going to be able to advance if I was going to do that. But right now, my focus is, you know, just working on our business and just doing that. But I just think that some people, I agree with what the gentleman said earlier. We, in our community, I feel like sometimes we use degrees sometimes just to hang on the wall and be able to use it against each other to say, well, I got this. But then you got all of this, but then you sitting around here making $30,000 a year, or maybe 35, that's
you know,
to me that's shameful. Why would you go to college? College costs more than that.
And another problem that I see with the black community is that a lot of us, you know, we have all these great ideas, but we just don't have the, I guess you could say the business acumen to put these things into action. Or it's either that or laziness or something, but we just don't.
It's the second thing you said. It's laziness, and it's another thing called want to. You got to have the want to do stuff.
And the last thing, we can't do it.
And see, we're not seeing the way because, like, I can tell you, and I'm pretty sure the other guy can agree with this. When you doing your own business, it is nonstop, 24. I mean, it's just like everything is on you. And so we like things like to be able to be right now. You know, not time. We want everything given to us. Because doing your own business, I mean, it's a process, and a lot of us want to be able to go. Some people, you can't expect everybody to do that because some people have a different mindset, but most of us, I feel like, we don't want to wait on things. We want things right now, and a lot of times we put our priorities are in the wrong place a lot of times.
Yeah.
So, where we spend money on things that makes no sense. Like you said, going out getting a car, driving this nice car, but yet you don't have a house. Something that can make you money, even if the economy should go back up. And let's just say if you spent, a money on your house, but then later on, if the economy should go back up, you could sell the house and make money off of it. Whereas a car, there's no value in that because it loses its value as soon as you drive it off the parking lot. So there's no value in it.
Yes, you're on the line. I'm hearing something.
I was listening, not thinking I was on. I was hearing her. I'm sorry for interrupting y'all.
Oh, that's okay, man. Go ahead.
I went to college. I graduated. My friends got pissed off because I graduated with $2,000 worth of student loan debt. So I was done in like 3 months paying my stuff off. So I get all what y'all are saying. The business part, we have to get control of our intellectual properties. That's where we get jammed up. Our patents and intellectual property get snatched up before we can build a business, and that's where the money is. The house thing, we've learned a bad habit from our parents. You notice how people die and then somebody sells the house and buy a new car?
Yeah. Yeah, we don't transfer. We don't want to keep stuff in the family. We don't have inheritance. We don't have nothing. We just don't. Who got that kid or something screaming back there? What's that? I love the kids, but I don't want them on the show.
I heard y'all talking earlier about that inheritance. I went to the gym with my son, and he likes cars. I like cars, but I ride my car to the, unless my car breaks, I'm going to keep riding it. But he was pointing at a Mustang. He said, I'm going to get a car just like that. And I said, well, son, what you're going to do is you're going to get a house to put a car in first because you can't live in it. And then he was like, well.
Hold on a second, everybody. Who is it that got, you know, some noise in the background? Or are they Sweet Child or whoever?
That sweet child.
They sweet child. I'm not calling this child's name. I'm saying it's a sweet, precious child.
Aww.
Anybody got that noise? Because I don't know who it is.
No.
I mean, I would hate to get this off topic, but one thing that I brought up on Facebook, I didn't put it out. I mean, it was only on my personal Facebook page. But was that... I didn't say it on Facebook, actually. I was actually hoping that George Zimmerman would get off because I felt that it would help the black community come together. But when I thought about it, it's going to bring us together for a little while. Of course, we're going to march and put our hoodies and stuff and our Skittles and our iced tea.
And making iced tea and Skittles money and not making no money in the black community.
Yeah, but are we really going to come together and try to make a change in the country?
I think as a community, we could do two simple things that will create more solidarity. One is use this as a call for people to buy guns. Two is stop talking to white people or non-black people, period. You want to know my opinion? Come all the way deep in my hood to talk to me. You need to be uncomfortable now. So talking to me is not worth anything.
But the thing about for black people, we'll accept anybody in our community. They don't even have to pass anything. If you are in a Caucasian community and you set up shop, you're going to have to kiss every Caucasian person's butt before they come in and buy something at your store. Because consciously or subconsciously, they will spend their money with Timmy rather they spend their money with Lee. But for us, we don't discriminate. We'll buy everything from anybody. But someone who's black will be questionable. Well, I don't know. Even though this person has their shop for over 30 years, always in the black community, we won't buy from them, but we'll buy from other people. And that's another part of integration is that we only use integration so we can buy from other people. We stopped buying from our own, and because we couldn't support our own, those businesses failed.
Because we don't have trust.
And to go off what you're saying, when I started my PCA business, when I would get people in that wanted care for their parents and their loved ones, as soon as they see me, I'm 5'10", I'm bald head, gold teeth, muscular, and I'm dark skinned. You know, they have this instant, oh, well, I don't know, and I lost a lot of potential clients because of that. That's why I have a white man. It's pathetic, but I have to do it. I have a white manager come in and meet all of these potential clients, because if I'm there, and when that happened, my business went up like 60%, because they know the deal. They don't want to recycle our dollars to us, you know, but that's what we do. We recycle our dollars out to any and everything and everyone. You go to a nail shop
and see what you did, and what you did is what I call playing the game for what it is.
You
played the game. You need to. I don't care what you say. You got to have some white folks that you can use, because there's some things that white folks can do that you can never do.
Mm-hmm. And I know
exactly.
That's true.
Did y'all hear about the lady who owned the cafe? The black lady, and I think this wasn't even in the United States, it was over in another country, but...
Yeah, the UK or something like that, yeah, she said that, about, they didn't know she owned a restaurant, and they was like, you know, I didn't know it was a black woman and all this other stuff, so she put that sign up saying, a black woman owned this, or you disgusted by it, don't come in here, you know, yeah.
When I grew up, before I moved to Chicago, I was born in New Orleans. The best Chinese restaurant in New Orleans is called the Chinese Kitchen. Everybody that was cooking in the back was black. It was a black restaurant. And hardly anybody knew. So sometimes when you walk in there, you know how they have the dragons and you know, in the wall, stuff like that. They played that joint to a T. You know, you had no idea.
It's not only black people. I mean, the 13-hour energy guy, he's an Indian, but he played the game too, because he always has a white person being the spokesperson or using the product, and you think it's white-owned, but it's actually Indian.
Mm. That's the same guy. The Super Soaker guy does that.
Yeah, that brother that owns it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, I just found out 2 years ago that a Super Soaker was that was started by a black guy, and I'm glad I supported it, because I had a lot of those when I was younger.
Yeah, me too. I had fun with that.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So, you know, this is the thing. You know, some people say, oh, you're being a Tom, you're being a coon, but sometimes you got to be strategic in what you do, and you got to, like, you know, this is the thing. As black folks, you got to, like, some black folks, I know the other brother saying, we can't talk to white people. We need to separate ourselves from white people. Unfortunately, they the majority. You have to deal with them in some way, form, or fashion. So I say pimp the game. That's what I say.
No, I don't mean not talk to them and separate from them in that way. What I mean is we need to stop putting ourselves on front street. Like, if you want to come to talk to us, you got to come to talk to us at our place on our terms. Because situations just like this George Zimmerman, Trayvon Martin situation, they're going to have people out there to talk to. You know what I mean? But it's going to be in a comfortable environment for them. So we need to start making people uncomfortable by being around us. An older guy I used to work for who was black, he said, you know, he took some white guys to Africa to bank with them, and they were so uncomfortable because the tables were turned. It made them, they had to deal with that. You get what I'm saying? That's what I mean. Sometimes we got to make people deal with it.
Well, I have no problem with making them come to my place, but I want my place to be a professional spot. I don't care if I'm dealing with him and it's about 8 to 10 brothers and sisters sitting there in some business attire, and we at the board meeting talking in our major business about some business, and he uncomfortable, fine. But I'm not going to tell him to come to Fifth Ward here in Houston to deal some business. That ain't going to happen.
Oh, no, I ain't talking about business. I'm talking about, you know, we going on news interviews and people have all kinds of interactions with us, but they're always interactions in places that they're comfortable with. Sometimes we have to turn the tables. Like, some of our most successful people realize we have to let them know that they ain't the only ones that's going to be uncomfortable in America.
Well, they're already uncomfortable because, like what Chad was saying earlier, the white nationalists see what's going on in America more than what black folks see, and they see that they're losing their majority slowly every day. They realize they're not getting any jobs. They're losing jobs. White folks are more scared of what's going on in this country than what you think. Black. And when they get scared and when they get fearful, they want to blame somebody. And then we always the person they blame for their problems. It's always been like that. So this is why
exactly
the heat has been turned up on black folks. It's because they the one don't have a job now. It's okay when we don't have one, but they don't like it when they don't have one.
I get that, but you and I both live in Houston. You and I both know if you go to Academy at 9:30 in the morning, it's a bunch of white people buying bullets.
Oh, of course.
They are scared, but they are preparing for something.
You heard that. You heard that.
Yeah,
exactly.
What's
going
on in Greece?
YouTube videos of how to shoot this and how to survive and what berries to pick. And I'm like, it used to be just one of the few white folks who did that. And you were like, oh, they kind of off, but whatever. But it's even more and more now they're preparing. They have a lot of guns, a lot of bullets. And it's like, what are you preparing for that we don't know?
They're preparing.
$16 trillion.
And people are daggone storing up food in their basements. They got guns, they got everything.
Well,
yeah,
people
what
know,
they're preparing
for,
what's going
on in Greece and other European countries, that's going to come here. The dollar, it's any time that the dollar should have crashed a long time ago. China, Japan owns all of our dollar reserves. And China's getting fed up. They've been fed up. They're not going to continue to buy dollars. And once they stop buying our dollars, which we need them to, America's going to go, it's already in shit.
One irony of our history and slavery, white people, it's a two-sided coin. They became recessors because they were so leisurely, and their privilege goes on all the time. They're not as prepared for things as they might seem. So the only thing they can cling on to is their guns.
Guns won't cure a sickness, and guns won't feed your kid.
I would say that a lot of black folks have the idea, okay, slavery was over, it happened a long time ago, we can go forward, but we never think about, what if that was to happen again? Are we really prepared to make sure that never happens again?
We're far worse. No. We're in worse condition.
No. Because I know plenty of people who, I said, man, you know, did you get your gun? Are you loaded up just in case? And they talk, you know, why should we do that? We should pray. Sometimes I think we forget that pray has an E in it, too. You know, you don't know exactly which one people are telling you, you know, when they saying, yeah, you pray.
But people don't even read the Bible because how many times that they had wars in the Bible and God told them to go fight a war? So, but he didn't tell them to go pray about it. He told them to go fight.
I mean, prayer is good, but you can't. I mean, God's not a genie. You have to.
Trust me, I was telling my wife, I'm really looking into that. They got this particular crossbow I wouldn't mind buying. That laser targeting crossbow, that's an awesome bow. I mean, you could hit somebody quick with that quiet instead of that loud noise of a gun. So you start buying silencers and stuff for a gun, then that's when you get in trouble. You know what I'm saying?
The thing I not necessarily admire, but I look at, is when white folks use Christianity, they use it in a sense of domination. They use it in a sense to get what they want. When black folks use Christianity, we use it in a passive, turn the other cheek type of mentality. My best example is Nat Turner was a Christian, but that did not stop him from revolting. Black folks will never use that example.
Yes, and that's what I exactly mean. When we use you pray, it's P-R-A-Y. When they use you pray, it's P-R-E-Y.
Yeah,
we are all, and we don't get, it's a double entendre with that.
Well, like I said, I don't know. I don't think that stuff they pulled back in 18 whatever worked today, because I just don't, not these kind of Negroes today. Because one thing about these Negroes, they know how to shoot. If you put, the thing is, white folks not that stupid like you think they are. You said we in a weak condition. At any moment, black, I'm telling y'all, at any moment, we can literally mobilize overnight. I'm telling you, we could do it again. Yeah. It's not. I'm telling you, Civil Rights Part 2 going to come. I keep saying that it's going to happen because it's going to take one incident or a couple of incidents, and everybody's difference is going to be put to the side. Because at first, it's going to happen. Everybody's difference has got put to the side. It wasn't that black men, black women crap, or thug, or educated crap. Everybody was together for that just short period of time. That's why Zimmerman got arrested. Not because they cared. It's because they didn't want no Negroes mobilizing again.
My thing is, how far do they have to, what has to happen, and to how much extent does it need to happen before we mobilize? Like, what is that thing or multiple things that make us say, oh, my God, forget all this. We need to come together.
Stop.
The back of the matter is, we definitely, you know, we need more people to get out and speak, too, on the forefront. We can't just keep having Al do everything. Al's a senior citizen. Jesse's a senior citizen. It's a lot of new people need to come up and talk. No, it's the truth. They've been fighting the fight for a long time. And people say, oh, well, they don't do this, they don't do that. They old grandpas now. I mean, they're doing their best. It's time for some young bloods to get up in there now.
What's on
you?
Exactly.
That's true. And another thing, we need to stop waiting until something happened to mobilize.
Yeah.
You know, we need to mobilize before somebody gets killed or somebody gets some kind of, you know, injustice done to them. We need to mobilize way before that happens.
But we're comfortable.
We have a messiah complex. That's a big problem. We always
look for a leader.
One person to show up. Just one person to show up and say, they're going to solve every problem. It's not cool. That's really not cool. Even if you talk about the civil rights movement and all that other stuff, there was plenty of leaders. We just picked out two or three, but they was you could run off a good 25-50, you know.
Yeah, and his brothers and sisters were very effective, but also the people supported them too. Not all this, or who do you think they are? You know, he don't speak for me, or she don't speak for me, and you know, it's like we are so obsessed with jealousy now. You know, that it's not even funny.
But some of them did get corrupted. A lot of them ended up seeing that if I work for this person, I can get these type of perks. If I work for black people, I may not get any perks, and I might end up getting shot. So a lot of them did get corrupted. And I also want to add a tidbit about the whole playing the game. The NAACP, when you think of it, you think of black faces, but on the top who makes the decisions, not even black people, is Jews.
Right.
So
yeah,
they play the game,
too. Anybody that's funding whatever you're representing, they own you. You can't have all these so-called black organizations and then they're being funded by, you know, people that don't look like you. They're going to control every aspect of what you're trying to do. I'm sorry.
I forgot who said this. but I'm sorry, I forgot who said this, but they said, you know, all those organizations like the NAACP do a lot of different things, but it seems like they never have an economic plan for the people, and that's mm-hmm. because they're not run by our people.
Because we are a marketing strategy. We not, but like I said, we're nothing but entertainers and marketing strategies for them. Like, we basically, they know us. They know us. You know what I'm saying? They know who we are. They know what we can do. They know we are.
No, well, kind of. Because I say this to people all the time when it comes to history. This country started going downhill when the black inventor stopped inventing.
Yep.
See, we don't have too much new shit coming around. See, people still getting old money from old things that black people invented because of racism. Now, nobody's inventing anything. You cut all these school programs, no inventors, no people to steal patents and IPOs. Now you're stuck playing the shell game.
Yep, yeah, that's that. And, you know, everything we get now, if it wouldn't be for the Asians, we wouldn't have that. But I want to thank everybody for joining the show, coming to the end of the show. And appreciate everybody's input and commentary as well. And we're definitely going to be back next week bringing in another topic, whatever me and Ms. Gabrielle discuss. If you are interested, you can go to my Advice Show TV channel and all my other crap that I put up every day. Check out some more videos if you're interested. All right, see you next week.